Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Smith delivers the 0-1. Bryan swings and hits one in the air to deep left center field. Going back is the center fielder, Marshall. Look up. This is gone. A two-run home run by Chris Bryant. And that's quite the start to this ball game. Cubs up 2-0.
Just a glorious day here in a friendly compound.
Rizzo swings and drives one to deep right field. This is gone. Back-to-back home runs for the Cubs. First Bryant, now Rizzo. 3-0 Cubs over the Diamondbacks.
Oh, it was great. You know, day game here, getting the crowd in, getting ahead. Last game of a series, trying to win the series. Nice to get the lead there, give Trevor some breathing room, getting ahead. Did a really nice job when you got the lead, throwing strikes, getting ahead of hitters, putting them on their heels and command of baseball. I thought that really lifted us nicely early on.
Taylor runs and it's a fly ball into shallow center field that should do it. Hamilton's got it, and the White Sox are able to stave off the sweep this weekend by taking the finale of the series, a pitching and defense game, 3-1 Pale Hose.
You called it a big time win. You guys have gotten a lot of big time wins without Aloy and Luis to be getting a big time win and then getting Aloy back tomorrow. What is that? What kind of boost is that for your club?
But 3 minutes, 4 minutes after the walk in the clubhouse and different guys saying different things, Eloy's name was mentioned. So we're trying to think, is there something appropriate to, I'm not going to say decorate the clubhouse, just to commemorate his return, you know? But we're looking forward to it. Team made a commitment that we were going to be in contention when he got back, and they honored it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of Tony La Russa. You heard David Ross before that. Our thanks to the fine folks at WSCR. Oh, givers, 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 never takers. And we appreciate that about them. And thanks to ESPN for sharing the audio, whether they realized it or not.
Yeah, that was fun last night. I thought it was a good platform for the White Sox. They took advantage of it, having a three and a half hour nationally televised commercial for what they're doing this year. And they deserve the attention they are receiving, and it's only going to get better because Eloy Jimenez reports today, going to be the designated hitter. A lot of enthusiasm and frankly, a lot of production offensively that you can come to expect. We think he's going to, you know, I think
30 homers
gradually. Well,
35.
No, half a season. So how many think? I think at one point you said 15, right?
I thought
that was a while
was
back.
Fair.
You said 15 would be a good.
I didn't know exactly when he was coming back.
But I think that's a really good number to look at.
Thank you.
Because if he does look at 15 home runs in the second half of this season, given where they are, that would be highly productive. Now, you don't want him to have 15 home runs and have a bat on base and hit right around 220. So you want him to be productive. But that's the Eloy I think people are used to seeing, and they get back tonight.
I think you can move Yoan Moncada back up in the lineup. I think Eloy fits in as your four hitter. I think it changes the way they look. It changes some of the RBI possibilities. I'm all over it. I will be very curious to see who goes down.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
It also changes the roster.
That's right.
And changes the makeup of a team that has been having success, has tremendous chemistry, really. And who is the person that goes down now? Who is the guy who is the odd man out. Is it Jake Berger? Possibly. I think that Could is – he hasn't played at second base. They haven't tried him there. You look at some of their possibilities. Other than that, I think it would have to be Berger at the top of the list. Now, maybe they go a different direction, but it's a nice problem to have because you've gotten production and contributions from people who you didn't expect to get them from. Now it just so happens that one of those guys may be on his way to Charlotte.
Well, when you listen to what Tony La Russa said there, he said that they had made a vow as a team to be in contention and to hold on until he got back. And I think that there's going to be, you know, a natural feeling of I don't know if it's kind of relief, whatever it might be. It's a dangerous way to feel.
Yeah.
Because you want to now say, all right, let's now all pick up the slack and we'll all welcome him back. What you don't want is to say, oh, you know, thank God he's back. Go ahead, start hitting homers and let us relax a little bit. That's not what you want. You want to keep up. And I think they will.
I think they got enough
professionals.
I do think they will. You're right. Yeah. That's the word. They're a professional team with a lot of good veterans who understand the approach. And as long as Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson are in that clubhouse showing you leading by example, that is what you're going to get. Now, and look, it's a long season. It's a slog. It's 162 games, 6 months. So when you get a text like 630, Sox fans act like Eloy Jimenez is the second coming of Babe Ruth. Chill out, basically. You know what? Don't chill out. Don't relax. Buy into all that this sure. is and represents, because you need moments like this to either artificially, build enthusiasm, or if it's real and they're talking about Eloy Jimenez and his arrival 4 minutes after a game that you just won, that shows you how they identify this as a rallying point. And so why would you resist that? You have to get through a season however you can, and this is one of those points at the end of July that could potentially give you a boost.
Listen, this is a key moment in this season. This is closer to all hands on deck than you've been in a long time. This is a player that, I get it, not Babe Ruth, but a guy that is the best young power hitter on this team.
Right.
And you feel can get better, and you feel will be better. So I think that this is a really big moment, and they have been waiting for it. And when Louis Robert comes back, and then after that, Grandal. And again, Grandal is now running. Louis Robert's on a rehab assignment. This is all good news.
It is good news, and it's only going to get better, you think. So I wonder this. So as we talked about, you wonder how this affects the Sox mindset as the trade deadline nears on Friday. Do they have to, they're adding a bat. Now do they focus on an arm? Because now they have a bullpen last night that, frankly, I think it underscored, as much fun as it was to win the finale against the Brewers and Lance Lynn driving in the two runs that were the decisive, difference in that game. Molly, if they had an eighth inning arm that they really trusted, or the bridge between Kopech and Liam Hendricks, so Liam Hendricks didn't have to go two innings, which he did happily and he did successfully.
Yeah, but you don't want to wear him out use him up before you get to the playoffs.
It's July.
Simple as that.
So now, how important is a bullpen arm to Rick Hahn? How aggressive should you seek somebody out there? And who is out there that you like? Do you like the Ryan Tepera idea?
Chafin and Tepera for something? Is that the idea?
Are they a package deal?
I don't know. I mean, I think you get more if you package them. Here's the problem. These are a couple of guys that the Cubs pulled off the scrap heap, and they're having good years. And that's how relievers are. They it's not something that you can depend upon from year to year, unless you're the highly paid closer, you're Craig Kimbrell, who obviously didn't play very well for a couple of years,
right,
and now is back, or you're Liam Hendricks, who's been brought in and has done very well for himself. But I think that, it's awful weird that the Sox bullpen hasn't been better than we expected it to be. And collectively, a lot of guys that were pretty good last year aren't as good this year. So that is just the way things work with bullpens. And unfortunately, you can bring in a couple of guys that could help you this year, But it's not like there are any kind of long-term solutions. So what are you giving up for that? And what is it that the Cubs are expecting if a two-for-one trade happened? So I know the Sox have been scouting them, and I know they've been looking at them, and sure. I think it's now about getting themselves a help in the bullpen.
Maybe they're also looking at Craig Kimbrel, Molly. I mean, you can't rule that out, that possibility out, because there are teams – you know, that are in the mix for Craig Kimbrel.
I think the price would be too high.
I think it would be high for the White Sox, but yeah. It certainly would remove some of those questions that we just described. And I think the dynamic would be too kind of tricky when you have two closers that both want the ball in the ninth inning. Heck, they want the ball in the eighth inning.
Right.
That's how much Liam Hendricks is motivated to do his job. Who would have thought, though, to your point about the volatility and unpredictability about bullpens, back in spring training, that we'd be sitting here talking days before the trade deadline that Ryan Tepera might be more dependable in the clutch in a high leverage situation than Aaron Bummer.
I know. It's crazy. It is crazy.
But that's kind of not an outrageous thing to suggest right now as we sit here this morning. Maybe Aaron Bummer will find it, but he's been a little bit of a disappointment down there. And if he were succeeding like we thought he would, they wouldn't have as big of a need. I like the name Daniel Hudson. He's out there.
Yep.
Brad Hand is also out there. As the Nationals become closer to being sellers than buyers that we thought they might be, there's some other really good names out there potentially. But the Sox have to be in on every one of those conversations, I think, because they need a bullpen arm more than they need a second baseman.
Yeah.
And I felt differently a week ago.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because obviously Leury is kind of the player of choice. And he went, 21 at-bats without a hit?
He's struggling.
He was battling a little bit right when you don't want him to be battling. So I think that, it's difficult to look at this right now and say, well, there are no real issues or problems with the White Sox now that you got guys coming back. Obviously – you need a little bit more always. And you look around baseball and the teams that are in contention are getting a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to continue. So you got to make sure that you're part of that. Now, it's a big piece to have back tonight with Aloy. I'm really excited about it. And I can't wait till Louis Robert comes back. I'm a little more hesitant about Louis Robert because I think that, with his injury, what makes him a great player is the fact that he's also a great defensive center fielder, and I'm not sure if he's going to be able to run in the fashion that he was running and do the things he can do. Aloy just has to hit, and I know that it's a weird injury and all the rest of it. It was a very strange injury for baseball and a weird way that it happened, but he's back, and that's great. Louis Robert, I mean, I think his bat helps, and he was just getting hotted up, so to speak, when he went down, but I worry about his defensive ability.
Well, it's a speed thing.
Yes.
It's a speed and agility thing. And so I feel much better about Aloy returning to form than you do Luis Robert, just because of the nature of the player and the type of injury. And having talked to Chris Johnson, the Knights hitting coach, over the weekend at Bears Repeating, he said that Aloy's stroke down in AAA, there was no difference in what it was before, and he's familiar with it, and he said that he showed no signs of the injury. So it sounds as if it has healed properly, correctly, to the point where he's not going to be a different type of power hitter. He's not going to be a different type of dangerous hitter. He's going to be the same guy that he was when he left, and who couldn't use an addition like that? There will be a lot of teams adding bats this week. None will be more impactful potentially than Eloy Jimenez to the White Sox lineup.
I'm fascinated to see how the White Sox handle Eloy all the way around. If they want to put him out in left field at any point in any game, if they just have him as a designated hitter now, and what happens in the future.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to see him in the outfield ever again.
I really don't, for his own good and for the White Sox best interests, because I do think you want him around to stay. And I'm sorry, every time that you see him make a play in the outfield, there are too many examples that come to mind that are just awkward. We saw it in Charlotte. He made a diving catch, and you held your breath a little bit until he got up and everything was fine. So with due respect, maybe he will play left field again. I hope it's not this season. They don't necessarily need him unless you have a lineup mix that you want to have him in the outfield to get somebody in as DH. So much depends on Yasmani Grandal's ability to catch when he comes back, which leads me to my next question. And I thought I wanted to get your perspective on this. Were you as surprised as I have been, or maybe should I have been this surprised to hear how many nice things are being said about Sebi Zavala as a receiver
by the
pitching staff?
Yeah,
Does that surprise you?
It didn't surprise me at all. I think that Sebi is a really good catcher. He's a defensive player. He is not an offensive player.
Right.
So I think that the fact that he got a single and drove in a run yesterday, that's the sort of thing that you need him to do. But I think they can hold on at that position until Grandal comes back. I think that because he is a good receiver, because the pitching staff likes him, unfortunately, I'm still not convinced that Zach Collins is a great catcher.
I know. And that's a fair opinion to have, though, now, because especially the Sox tend to agree, it seems, with you. They have reservations because you're seeing Zavala used more often than I thought, and it makes you wonder, Molly, makes me wonder, when Grandal comes back, who is going to be the odd man out? Because of that defensive stability provided.
So you're saying that Sebi could still be there and Zach Collins could?
I guess the amount of praise that he's received in this little cameo that he's been pressed into action has made me at least rethink this whole idea. The assumption that I had was, okay, you're going to have Zach Collins, you're going to have Grandal. But if Grandal's knee is to the point where you want to protect him and maybe DH him and you're going to play Aloy in left field sometimes, or maybe give him a rest, or however you configure it, do you want somebody whose defense you trust in a close game, much the way that you put Billy Hamilton in center field?
Yeah, right.
Your best defensive team could be Zavala behind the plate.
Yeah, that's a distinct possibility. But I think you need left-handed power, and Zach Collins can, he's got a pretty good eye, and he can hit every once in a while, and he can help you with the left-handed power. I think it comes down to, is Gavin Sheets a part of this team or not? I'm not sure. His batting average has gone down. I mean, he's still shown some power, but I don't know that he's not hitting his use by date and Cinderella at the ball type deal. So I got to see what they decide to do with that, because left-handed power is an important element of Major League Baseball, and the Sox are certainly looking for it. I don't know that
fun things to consider for a playoff team.
There's a lot. There's a lot out there for the Sox to be breaking down. All right, 312-644-6767. Who's doing what at the trade deadline in this town? We'll ask John Heyman next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love talking to our buddy John Heyman, and he joins us on the Home Run In Hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're waiting. We're waiting with bated breath to find out who's coming and who's going in the fine city of Chicago. We know the Cubs are supposed to sell. We know the White Sox are supposed to buy. We wonder if they're supposed to hook up somehow. What are you hearing about the Cubs and Sox?
Yeah, well, the Cubs are where the action is. I mean, they are the biggest seller. They have the most interesting pieces of anybody in baseball to sell. I mean, obviously, Chris Bryant, former MVP. You've got Craig Kimbrell, arguably the best reliever, at least in the National League. Potentially, Baez and Rizzo. I mean, the core of that team, the nucleus of that championship team. It's just very, very interesting right now with the Cubs. White Sox, you know, they're one of the buyers that doesn't really desperately need a starting pitcher. So they're in an interesting position. The prices are not going to be as steep for position players, and we think they're going to be going out and getting some. And, you know, I think they're still in a pretty good position. They may not have the best prospects to deal. Maybe that was what happened with Frazier. Probably tough to beat out the Padres. The Padres are very, very, very aggressive in going out and getting players. So, you know, the White Sox are in great position, though. They've got it locked up, as we've discussed, at least their division. And, you know, they're in just excellent, excellent position.
And the Padres go out and get Adam Frazier from the Pirates, and that's a big move. Maybe the Sox were interested in him. So, John, let me ask you about another potential second base target, if possible. Are the Blue Jays sellers? And if they are, what does Marcus Semien's market look like?
Yeah, I have not heard that. I do not expect them to be sellers. They've been certainly been better than the Yankees or buyers. You know, everybody has their own circumstance. The Yankees really would have not much to sell anyway, and they are the Yankees. They're in for $200 million. But at this point, I think the Blue Jays are buyers. I think they're looking for pitching, particularly relief pitching. But, you know, I mean, I think – there are a lot of teams that are kind of in the middle that are on both tracks, both paths, and will eventually have to make a decision at the end. I think everything is going to come down to the end. I mean, we heard the Nats were on both paths, but, I mean, they haven't won a game since, and they're certainly going to be sellers now, which is really going to make things interesting because Max Scherzer on the market would really roil the pitching market. I mean, right now we have very few established excellent starters on the market, and that makes things interesting and difficult.
John, we saw, you know, down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier! We saw the trade of Adam Frazier, who probably maybe only in the mind of Sox fans was headed to Chicago in some capacity. What about the Escobar deal? Is that dead in the water too?
You know, I have not heard that's dead in the water. I mean, I think Arizona's in a difficult spot. Not only do they have arguably the worst team, they don't have pitching pieces to trade other than Merrill Kelly. And, you know, the market just is not that good for these starters, and they're probably frustrated by the offers that they're getting. These versatile players do bring a little bit more than your regular players, and Escobar can play a couple positions. So that should be a plus. That makes some sense still. I thought Frazier, I mean, it's not just the White Sox fans, Mully, but I thought Frazier was the best fit for the White Sox with Madrigal out. It made sense. Frazier can play left field as well. It's going to be interesting to see what the Padres do. I mean, they have three all-stars infielders, all-star infielders, and they got now a fourth. They have four all-star infielders on their team. I mean, that's kind of an unusual situation. Perhaps they try to trade Hosmer. We've heard they're a little disenchanted with Pham, even though he's doing pretty well. So maybe they deal him. You know, the Padres are certainly an active and interesting team. But, you know, the White Sox are really good. You know, that's probably more important than being interesting at the trade deadline. So we got to give them that.
John, from the New York perspective, when you look at the Mets, obviously Steve Cohen is there and is willing to spend money. He wants to make a splash, but there is a need that exists. They need some help. And as far as the Cubs as a partner are concerned, is it just Chris Bryant or is it potentially Javi Baez as well, either or? And are the hauls in return going to be very different?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Steve Cohen is going to be aggressive. They are willing to go over the threshold under certain circumstances. I have heard them connected again with Bryant. I think the Cubs are probably in that same position as other teams looking to trade position players, even versatile ones. And obviously Bryant's one of the most versatile. They're probably frustrated by the offers that they're getting at this point. If you have pitchers to trade, and that's probably why everybody on the Cubs is available, probably even looking at Hendricks, you never know, you know, because he could get a lot for him. The Mets are focused most on starting pitching. That's what they want most. Relief pitching is of interest to them. I don't think they would go for, I mean, I haven't heard them linked with Kimbrel. Kimbrel, I've heard linked with the Phillies, Toronto, and many others. You know, I think that the Mets are a match for the Cubs in some circumstances. Bryant being the most likely. I have not heard Baez connected with the Mets. Baez, another guy who's versatile, can play second, could fit there because of he can play second. Mets aren't looking at shortstop. They're going to fill in until Lindor gets back from the oblique. So they're probably not the first call for on Baez. I'm also thinking Baez and Rizzo may end up staying. Bryant and Kimbrel need to be traded, though, at this point. That's what they're certainly going to do, at least those two, and probably some of the relievers. You hear about Tapera, Chafin. You know, there are teams that need relievers badly. Pitching, you're going to be able to get good stuff for. Position players, probably not so much, and that may be part of the reason why I think Rizzo and Baez and or Baez may end up staying.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be fascinating because I think that the Cubs have to make a choice between, you know, what the draft pick would be for a player versus what they can get from at the deadline, right? And it's a simple kind of math problem for them. You would think that there is the possibility they could extend some guys, but they haven't moved in that direction at all.
Yeah, no, they really haven't. There's no evidence that they've talked yet with Baez or Rizzo. We'll see. There's still 4 days to go. You never know. It only takes one phone call. You would think they could beat the draft choice, certainly for Baez. You would still think they could for Rizzo. Perhaps they feel if they keep them, they'll have more chance to extend them after the season. I'm not sure that could be in the equation as well. To me, the best fit for Rizzo and probably for Bryant might be Milwaukee, but do they trade with the Brewers? I can't see the Cubs trading with the Brewers. That'd be tough. Milwaukee, they keep getting first basemen, but you still feel like maybe they need a little more help there. So, you know, maybe they'll end up with Crone or Mancini or somebody of a lesser stature than Rizzo. But, I mean, Rizzo certainly would help the Brewers. And you'd think he would help enough teams that you could get more than the draft choice for him.
John, it looks like maybe Trevor Bauer never pitches for the Dodgers again. I mean, that's a separate story. But with them needing a starting pitcher, I know you tweeted out that Tyler Anderson from the Pirates could be available. Zach Davies from the Cubs is similar in that he will be available and has some veteran experience as well. Could either one of those guys be the target of the Dodgers?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are three pitchers that are almost certainly will be traded. Davies, Tyler Anderson, and John Gray from the Rockies. Three solid pitchers who are free agents after the year. No sense keeping them. They're on teams that are non-contenders. The other ones are more iffy. You know, Berríos has got a lot of interest. The Twins don't want to punt on next year. They think they can win next year. I'm not sure if they're right about that, but they do think that. And so I think Berríos is, you know, got a good chance to stay. Gibson also has a contract for next year, and so he may stay with Texas. But to me, the time is right to trade him. I think he probably will go because he's having a career year, although the last couple starts were not as good as before the All-Star break. But you know, to me, he's got value. And, you know, Max Scherzer to me is the most interesting one. You know, you've got the question now of the triceps. He's a 10-5 guy. But, you know, I mean, he really could change the market if he is on the market.
Why does it have to come down to the deadline, John? Is it just teams aren't willing to cough until?
Yeah, human nature. You know, everybody wants a deal. And, you know, you have to make a decision at the deadline, particularly with no trades after the deadline this year. You've got to have to fish or cut bait, shall they say. And that's it. You know, everybody's looking for a deal up until that point. And this is the way it is always, and probably this year more than ever. Seems to be, you know, I'd say, you know, maybe 75% of the big deals are going to come down at the deadline.
So, John, you mentioned that Scherzer could be on the move. The Nationals would be sellers in that context under that scenario. They also have some bullpen pieces. Daniel Hudson is there. Brad Hand is a guy that would get a lot of interest. Could they hold an auction for those two relievers? Because I know a team in town that might be interested.
Yeah, I mean, the reliever market is already good. It's getting much better with Hand and Hudson clearly out on the market now. I mean, Kimbrel is the best reliever who's available, but you've got Kennedy from Texas. You know, you've got relievers on, you know, these bad teams. They don't have many good starters, but they almost every team has some good relievers or decent relievers or manageable relievers. You've got Rogers from Minnesota, who's done some saving, but is very talented lefty. You know, they're just Michael Givens from the Rockies. There are a lot of good relievers out there, but certainly Hand and Hudson would be two of the better ones. And I do expect the Nats need to be a seller. I mean, there are 8 games under. They just got swept by the Orioles. You know, Schwarber's out. Strasburg is out. You know, this was a top-heavy team to begin with. You've got 2 out of your best 6 or 7 players who are out. You know, if they're not a seller, they're being delusional.
John, when we look at, you know, Frazier going to the Padres, does that signal a big buy-in with that division? I mean, obviously the Dodgers are a team that has nothing but money, and David asked you already about the Trevor Bauer situation. Do you expect them to respond to that? I mean, do the Giants have to now try to acquire something that maybe they weren't planning on before? How much better can teams get? You add an all-star to a team that already has a pretty full roster, a pretty good infield, and I guess they're going to move him to the outfield. But it just seems like maybe this starts kind of a bidding war in that division.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting about the West is that, I mean, I think we can think that all 3 are going to be in the playoffs. There was what the NL Central had 3 teams in the playoffs maybe 7-8 years ago. It doesn't happen very often where 3 teams are in the playoffs. So they all feel probably pretty good about that, but they'd like to avoid that one-game playoff. 2 out of 3 of them are going to be in that one-game playoff, presumably. And, you know, that makes for more interest at the trade deadline. I mean, unfortunately this year the races are, I wouldn't say settled, but they're not as compelling as they've been in the past, and that will curtail some of the trading, I think. But in that NL West, you've got 3 teams that really not only have their design set on winning that division, but in winning the World Series, they're all capable of doing that. And I mean, the Giants are no fluke at this point. We can say that they've done very well. They've made good deals. They have an exciting team. They do have some injuries. They are going to be doing stuff. The Dodgers probably have not lived up to expectations. They are the world champions. They were obviously intent on repeating, as evidenced by that Bauer deal. I, you know, at this point, I'm going to be surprised if Bauer pitches again for the Dodgers. Certainly this year, I'm not seeing that. You get a report in the LA Times that the teammates do not want him back. I do believe that. I'm sure the fans probably do not want him back. It's, you know, nothing's proven yet, but it's a very ugly situation at this point. The Dodgers clearly want and need a starting pitcher. I think all 3 teams there in that division are looking for starting pitching. That's what makes this market very unusual. I mean, I know the pitching is more the focus than position players, but now it's crazy. Basically, I would say the White Sox and maybe the Astros are the only contenders that aren't focused. It's completely focused on starting pitching.
Great stuff, John.
Great, John. Thank you.
Great talking to you guys, as always.
That is John Heyman, obviously Odyssey Sports and the MLB Network, and great stuff from John as usual. It's coming down. This is it. We're going to find out exactly who's coming and who's going, and it's going to be a very interesting week. There's a ton of possibilities.
Yeah, he mentioned a couple with the Cubs guys going to places that I just don't see as fit, but there's a lot of scenarios out there. I wonder what some people's favorites are. 312-644-6767.
Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I think the Cubs are probably in that same position as other teams looking to trade position players, even versatile ones. And obviously, Bryant's one of the most versatile. They're probably frustrated by the offers that they're getting at this point. If you have pitchers to trade, and that's probably why everybody on the Cubs is available, probably even looking at Hendricks, you never know, you know, because he could get a lot for him. The Mets are focused most on starting pitching. That's what they want most. Relief pitching isn't of interest to them. I don't think they would go for I haven't heard them linked with Kimbrel. Kimbrel, I've heard linked with the Phillies, Toronto, and many others. But, you know, I think that the Mets are a match for the Cubs in some circumstances, Bryant being the most likely. I have not heard Baez connected with the Mets. Baez, another guy who's versatile, can play second, could fit there because of he can play second. Mets aren't looking at shortstop. They're going to fill in until Lindor gets back from the oblique. So they're probably not the first call for on Baez. I'm also thinking Baez and Rizzo may end up staying. Bryant and Kimbrel need to be traded, though, at this point.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's John Heyman. We just talked to him. And, Kimbrel, Bryant need to be traded. That's strong. And I guess the Mets for Bryant, that makes sense because they were talking in the offseason and the Cubs are supposedly asking too much. I wonder if the price goes down and what the price is. It'll be fascinating to see what the Cubs are able to do here. And then Kimbrel, we've heard a lot of different teams. Didn't Buster Olney say last night that that it's going to be the the Dodgers? That would
kind of
make sense.
Well, that was one of the scenarios that he painted. And I do agree with you with the Mets. I mean, they're more likely Bryant than Baez.
Yeah.
The guy at the center of some of those talks had been the number two prospect in the Mets organization, a shortstop, Ronnie Mauricio. I believe the Cubs might want some pitching to draft, to develop young pitching that they haven't been able to do if you're going to trade somebody like that. But Buster Olney, he went through each one of those guys last night on ESPN, the broadcast, each one of the four big names, and seemed to have a scenario for each one.
But Buster, let's play some name games here. I'm ready. The Cubs, also relevant in this conversation, certainly geographically, seem to have a lot of pieces that people would be interested in.
Yeah, they are the buffet table for all the contenders. And if you start with Craig Kimbrel, their closer, he probably is the guy generating the highest volume of interest among all of the potential guys who are going to be traded. We know that the Boston Red Sox have some interest. We know that the Houston Astros have some interest. If I'm guessing a team, you know what? How about the Los Angeles Dodgers? For several reasons. A, they could use some more depth. And they've had this issue with Kenley Jansen last week. You acquire Craig Kimbrel, you might solve a problem.
What about somebody like Andrew Chafin with the Cubs?
Yeah,
Buster?
And look, you're right that there's some teams that need bullpen help. Other teams need less bullpen help. The Brewers perhaps in that category. But I really think that a lot of the flurry of activity that we're going to see on Thursday and Friday is going to be relievers. The last second teams grabbing a reliever. Matt, I'll run through some other names real quick for you. I think Anthony Rizzo is going to wind up with the Boston Red Sox. I think the Mets are going to wind up with one of three guys, Chris Bryant or Trevor Story or Javier Baez. I think Tyler Anderson is going to be traded by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mets potentially could be a fit there. San Diego Padres also out in the marketplace looking for a starting pitcher.
Wow, one of those big ticket Cubs going to the Mets. Now we're talking about blockbusters coming in the next week.
big ticket items, huh? Buffet table for the rest of the league. Did you ever think that the Cubs would be a buffet table?
No, I thought they would be standing in line wanting to get theirs and and start to do their own selection. But I think that the Mets' propensity to seek a splash with a new owner and their willingness to spend perhaps and do and frankly go out and make the big move while you were gone, there was a back page headline in the New York Post, back page spread, Christmas in July with a K.
Yeah.
And talking about Chris Bryant to the Mets. And I wonder if that's still in play because of their need there. Anthony Rizzo to the Red Sox, going back full circle, his career coming back to Fenway. You wonder where that stands because they're, throughout baseball, their WAR is the lowest in the league. And he would give them experience, even though Mully, he has not. I know the nostalgic back-to-back home run was great. It's a terrific highlight. He hasn't had a good month at the plate.
Well, his back is a mess, and I think that the trade talk probably has infected him a little bit. He's a guy that thought he was going to be here forever, and probably surprised that he's involved in trade talks, and not going to get the kind, you know, even think about it. Whenever Jed was talking about this possibility, there was always this belief that, well, we're going to be able to get something with Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the contract offer was not to his liking, but I don't know that he's getting any kind of deal like that anytime
soon. No, not now.
And I would think that he must know that if he's traded, that is going to underscore the fact that he's not getting any contract like that anytime soon. I mean,
well,
now he's going to be a kind of a bounce around guy. Now he's going to be a you know, maybe a guy that gets a couple years somewhere, a year deal, and see how he does. And you know, this is you know, so much for the whole Cub for Life thing.
He could spin it the other way too. He could say a contender wants him because of his experience in the postseason. I think that Buster only used the term again. His heartbeat would be at 60. Heart rate would be at 60 rather than 160 in October. And Anthony Rizzo could use that as confirmation that he still has something left because teams value that in the clutch, down the stretch. And so I agree with you because I think the Cubs, in retrospect, dodged a bullet when Anthony Rizzo decided not to take their offer because five-year commitment to somebody who has, in the first half of the season, been out with two episodes of having a bad back, at his age, you worry about that commitment long term.
Well, and we've talked about it many times, which is when you are a 31-year-old first baseman, it's not like your back starts getting better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, when you have a back issue, it's not like that improves over time. Well, guess what? You know, the back issue is, it's just, I'm back to new. I'm back fresh as Daisy. And it doesn't seem like that's a viable possibility without some kind of surgery or some kind of a solution that might keep you out for a while.
Absolutely true. And also, though, you factor that into the Red Sox, they've got a one-game lead in the AL East.
Yeah.
That's a tough division with the Rays at where they are, one game back. The Rays made the big move for Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
Which, you know, kind of we talked last week, Molly, did that set the market for what Chris Bryant would command because the Twins got two AAA starters in return, guys they project into the rotation? I don't know, but it does also force Boston's hand, perhaps, to go out and make a move themselves. And if that's for Anthony Rizzo, then the Cubs might be more likely to make a deal there, as Buster only suggested. What about Kimbrel to the Dodgers? That came out of left field, so to speak. I did not expect to hear that name mentioned in connection with Craig Kimbrel, because I hadn't heard it yet.
Yeah, the Dodgers have tons of money. Dodgers need pitching. They need starting pitching. But it would be a great pickup for the Dodgers. I mean, Craig Kimbrel has had a fantastic year, and there's no reason to believe that wouldn't continue if he went to a contender. So I think that that makes sense to me in a lot of different ways, just because you know you heard him mention the Kelly Jansen thing. That's a problem.
Well,
that's something they got to deal with, and sometimes you make a move over the top, and you prevent a lot of those problems from biting you.
And what a great situation that would be for the Cubs. You get the Dodgers involved in the bidding for Craig Kimbrel, and all of a sudden, five teams become six or six become seven, and you've got a team that has a lot of prospects, and they know that they're deep in their organization. So that would be a best case scenario for the Cubs, who, you know, I feel like of all the guys that are on the market, Kimbrel is the most likely to go and maybe the next one.
Okay. We're going to bring in Bruce Levine. We'll ask him if that is accurate. We'll ask him about Anthony Rizzo, Cub for life, going to Boston. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.